As we join you live on air, leaders of the world religions are praying for peace in Assisi. At the conclusion of 2 days of intense debate and discussion over the role of religious dialogue as an instrument for peace, representatives from Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Christian Orthodox, Protestant, and Evangelical traditions, and the Catholic Church will present a joint appeal for peace this evening in the city of St. Francis. Emer McCarthy is there and joins us live on the line. Good evening, Emer.
Good evening, Chris.
At this moment, Emer, the leaders are in prayer. What is the atmosphere like around the city?
Yes, well, Chris, Assisi is quietened by prayer this evening. The heart of the city, known as Common Square, is where the prayer for peace is taking place. At 5:15, the bell of St. Rufino's Cathedral rang, calling all the groups to prayer. Now, let me just explain, Chris, for our listeners. Of course, the leaders and exponents of the various religions are not praying together. Places of worship around the square were assigned to each of the religions. Now, the Christian delegations, that is, the Orthodox, Protestant, and Catholic leaders, are gathered together in the Cathedral of St. Rufino. Their prayer is being transmitted across the city for the thousands of pilgrims who have made their way here to witness this event. Chris, probably the most symbolic moment will be at the end of this prayer service, however, when the Christian delegation leaves the cathedral a few minutes before the other delegations emerge from their places of worship to welcome them and invite the imams, rabbis, and monks to process together with them towards St. Francis Square in front of the Assisi Basilica. There, Chris, the joint 2006 appeal for peace will be proclaimed.
Emer, the image of the interfaith procession in Assisi is evocative, of course, of that first historic meeting of faiths in Assisi 20 years ago with the Pope at the time, John Paul II, the servant of God. To some, John Paul's vision of peace and dialogue between religions seems as distant now as it was then, given the current tensions, particularly in the Middle East. Was there much discussion on this issue in the course of the 2 days?
Well, Chris, as the founder of the St. Egidio Community Professor Andrea Riccardi pointed out in his closing speech earlier today, no one ever said dialogue was easy or without contrasts. These meetings, of course, Chris, are the brainchild of the St. Egidio community. Indeed, the urgency, but also the difficulty of dialogue between religions for a world of peace was evident here in Assisi from the very first roundtable interventions, particularly those dealing with Lebanon and the question of the Middle East. From the start, Rector of Cairo's Al-Azhar University, Al-Tayeb, world authority on Sunni Islam, affirmed that a society which negates religions cannot guarantee even the most basic of human rights. A proposal of a greater dialogue and respect also came from the chief rabbi of Israel, Yuna Metzger, who used the opportunity of the Assisi meeting to once again publicly denounce what he described as the disrespectful publication of the Muhammad cartoons. While at the same time, Chris, he also asked that all Muslim spiritual leaders publicly condemn political leaders from their own countries who belittle the Holocaust or who call for the cancellation of the State of Israel. The deep wounds and the complexity of the crisis between identities in the Middle East was highlighted by the declarations of the chief rabbi of Haifa, one of the cities worst hit by the recent war with Hezbollah. In his intervention, he defended the Israeli military intervention, but also recognize that the roots and reasons of this very conflict are religious in the solution in dialogue between religions.
Ecumenism, Emer, was also a chief issue then under discussion. What developments were there in that area?
This morning, Chris, I attended a roundtable discussion which grouped together Cardinal Walter Kasper, President of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity, Mohammed Ismaili, a Muslim theologian from Rabat University, Orthodox Metropolitan Patriarch Seraphim, Rabbi Reni Sirat, and Lutheran Reverend Jürgen Johann's daughter. All the key religions were there, Chris. The debate, to say the least, was diplomatic and lively, but on the key issue of ecumenism and Christian unity, well, the message was that there is a spirit of increased collaboration, particularly between Moscow and the Vatican, on issues of common cultural and social interest, but theological discussions are still very much on the back burner. I spoke to German Lutheran Bishop Jürgen Johann's daughter about this very issue.
There are so many things we can do together, for example, for peace, for the way we meet refugees in our countries, for the way we meet the old people and we meet the handicapped people, and this is this will lead us to feel like the others, because we have this, we see the same tasks and things we have to do in the name of our God, in the name of the gospel.
And this idea of slow but steady progress in ecumenical dialogue was reiterated by Bishop Renato Bicardo, the General Secretary at the Vatican Governatorate, who also took part in this morning's panel. Is that correct, Emer?
Yes, it was. I spoke to him just after the panel, and he told me there is slow but steady progress, and one must always be optimistic, Chris, in with regards ecumenical dialogue.
Of course, I think we have all to believe that one day we will meet together and we will celebrate together the Holy Eucharist. Of course, at the beginning, perhaps it was more enthusiasm in the dialogue and in the meetings. And now we need to have time enough to deep understand what Jesus is asking to each one of his disciples, and we have to work together. The fact that the meeting in Assisi, it's still alive, and people meet here coming from all around the world and from different religions, it's a good sign, in my opinion. It means that we all want to go on, and one day to meet each other really as the sons and disciples of the one God.
As Monsignor Boccardo points out, Chris, the function of dialogue between peoples, cultures and religions is to bring different problems and different questions to the table, that it's slow but that it is making progress. The message from this meeting in Assisi is that dialogue is only a starting point on the road to comprehension and peace. But as Pope Benedict XVI said in his message to the meeting, which was read yesterday and which was also reiterated by Professor Riccardi today, dialogue is a vital starting point. Assisi shows in concrete terms that religion does not divide people, but it unites them in a prayer for peace. Chris.
Thank you very much, Eimear.